for one, one for another. With the name of love above all other. In every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Glad to have you with us again on a Friday talking about evangelization, discipleship, all things Jesus. It is a great summer right now. It's in the middle of the good old Minnesota get-together, the state fair, and we've got a show on a stick for you today. I think that's an old saying now, Paul, that's a show on a stick. But we got a great show for you. You know, it's back to school. Kids are going back to school, and we're going to talk in just a few minutes with Father Vandenbroeke. He's over at Epiphany. He's the parochial vicar at Epiphany in Coon Rapids with Father Duffner. Mike McGinty's the president over there, the principal. And we got some really good discussion that's going to go on about back to school and some good habits for your kids, and ask some questions that you might be thinking about, you know, how to really supersize this experience of Catholic education. And what is the point of Catholic education? As many of you know, also just recently we had the Leading with Faith Awards, and we've got a winner with us today, good friend of the show, Dan Moran. He is the financial advisor and managing director at Wealth Management with Merrill Lynch, and he's going to be talking to us about that award that he received. And then after the show, he's going to counsel me and get my whole life put together financially. Little perk. No, just kidding. But it's going to be a good show. Hey, we're really coming into the last stretch of summer, Labor Day around the corner, and that means that kids are back to school. The trees are going to start changing pretty soon. We're getting ready for another season of our life. And there are certain things that we want to make sure that we do in our life with Christ to get ready for that. I want to encourage moms and dads as kids are going back to school to double up their prayer and remember to pray for their kids as they go back to school, because in the summer, there's not as much prayer needed. You know, I'm kidding you there, but you know what I'm saying. They sleep till 2 in the afternoon. And so the prayer time is only from about 2 to 10. But during the school year, they're getting up, they're tired, and it's going to be reason for you to walk in patience and forbear with one another. There's an adjustment period there. But remember to pray for your kids, because in school these days, they face temptations, they face situations. The social media gigabyte scale is going to go up a little bit more as they start talking to one another. Pray for your children that they would remain holy, that they would know how to fight the battles that are facing them in their own life. And also, once again, I want to encourage you daily, every single day, spend time with Jesus. If we're followers of Jesus, if we are Christians, that means that we have said yes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've said yes. We've said yes to becoming like him. You know, that's what the essence of discipleship is. It is a commitment to follow him, listen to him, adopt his worldview, and imitate Christ, to become Christ in this world, to allow him to animate us in love at home, at work, in other places. And that takes some intentionality. That takes some focus. So remember every day, don't let a day go by where you don't have time with Jesus to talk to him. I'll guarantee you one thing. If he was here in the flesh, you wouldn't miss a day. You wouldn't. You wouldn't miss a day. And that's the hurdle we have to get over, isn't it? Where we have to remember that he is here with us. Just because you don't see him as they did 2,000 years ago doesn't mean he's not with us. We need to set that time aside for prayer. And as you pray, by the way, encounter Jesus in the Word. Every day you can meditate on the gospel reading. Get a copy of the Magnificat and read in your Bible. Read in your Bible. Parents, as your kids are going back to school, get up early in the morning. It's important that your children see you reading the Bible and praying. It will set an example for them. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Father Vandenbroekie over at Epiphany in Coon Rapids about back to school. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover.
Have you seen how hard some businesses try to prove they're socially responsible, like it's a new idea? Well, Catholic United Financial, based right here in St. Paul, has been doing it for nearly 140 years. They consider folks members, not just customers or account numbers. Catholic United is a not-for-profit. They transform profits into purpose, bringing together members, employees, and volunteers to pursue their mission. Grants for local schools and parishes, post-secondary scholarships to members. They even have a disaster recovery team. Their annual Catholic Schools Raffle for over 90 schools in the Upper Midwest has raised millions for Catholic education. So when you buy life insurance or a retirement product from Catholic United, you're not only protecting your family, you're also providing for the greater good of your community. Like that idea? Give your local sales rep a call. In Lakeville and Burnsville, that's Rick Mathewitz. Elsewhere, go to CatholicUnited.org and type in your zip code to find your local rep. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
I love his music. Matt Maher, great Catholic man. Get to work with him a couple times every year. We have the amazing parish conferences around the country, and of course we have Matt Maher for a concert in the evening. Love that brother in the Lord. He is so talented. Very, very talented. Hey, by the way, speaking of talented musicians, September 3rd, that's tomorrow. That's Saturday, September 3rd. 10 o'clock at night, Ali Aaliyah, one of our own, has her new album. It's a new album debut at the Ice House, and you are invited. There's going to be Luke Spihar is going to be singing, and Ali's going to be introducing her new album, Labyrinth, and the songs on that album are incredible. You're invited. Tell the young adults in your life to show up tomorrow night from about 9 to 10. It opens up at the Ice House, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to be emceeing that and introducing Luke and Allie. And then she makes her East Coast debut at Abbey Fest. And that is coming up this fall. She is incredible. We've got some real, real talent in the Twin Cities in the Minnesota area. She works with Father Mike Schmitz, by the way, up in Duluth. She assists him. Okay, we're going to talk now about the Leading with Faith Awards. If you've been following the Catholic spirit, you know that every year, the Catholic Church in the Twin Cities takes note of people who are doing an excellent job of living their faith, not only privately, but in the workplace and having some kind of influence. I think this is a great thing. I think it's good for us, and it's a powerful thing to note that there are people in the community that are really striving to be holy and trying to live their life. We're going to talk to one recipient today. That's Dan Moran. Dan Moran is the Senior Financial Advisor and Managing Director for Wealth Management with Merrill Lynch. He's a longtime friend, been to Israel with me, along with his lovely wife, Cheryl, and he's joining us today to talk a little bit about that Leading with Faith Award. Dan, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Jeff.
Good to have you on the show. You know, that this award's been going on for quite some time, and you probably have read the Catholic Spirit in the past, and you've seen some of the people who have been recipients of that award. I know my good friend Joe Kippers was a recipient one year, and then suddenly, there you are. You're one of the recipients. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but give us a little bit of your background, your family background.
Jeff, I was blessed to grow up in a Catholic home with loving parents, two sisters, Monica and Marnie. We attended Our Lady of Grace Church in Edina, where I still attend today. Played sports growing up, tennis and hockey. I went to Edina West High School in 1981, St. Olaf College in 1985, and then I became the junior high youth minister at Our Lady of Grace for 3 years. I got married at age 25, and the next month became a financial advisor at Merrill Lynch, where I've worked for the past 28 years. Cheryl and I have been blessed with two wonderful children, John, age 26, Katie, age 24, And I've always had a fantastic relationship with my father. When I was a young boy, he just spent hours with me playing catch with a baseball or football or skating with me at the park. He coached most every hockey team and football team I played on. And when I was 5 years old, he took me duck hunting. Hmm. And for the past 48 years, every fall, we go duck hunting together, pheasant hunting. And I'm also blessed to be married to Cheryl, a beautiful, athletic, brilliant, gifted Christian artist, a gifted Bible study leader, Christian speaker, a great mom, a wonderful wife, and most importantly, she has a beautiful, deep Catholic faith that inspires me and everyone she encounters to grow in faith. And thanks to her being a great mom, our kids are healthy young adults. As you mentioned, I'm a senior financial advisor to roughly about 150 families who have entrusted me and my team to manage their investment portfolios. I help them to grow their assets so they can retire someday. And for those of my clients who are retired, I do all that I can so they can enjoy a worry-free retirement and pursue their goals. We help them send their kids to college, grandkids to college, implement tax minimization strategies. And I absolutely love my job because my clients are some of the most wonderful people in the world. I'm also blessed to work closely with Darla Neeson, Jenny Mallon, and Chad Bovey, who are members of Team Moran. We each have different responsibilities in serving our clients, and they are very skilled at what they do. They're wonderful people. So every day I'm blessed to interact with loving clients, loving coworkers, and I come home to a wonderful wife. I'm a blessed man.
You sound like you got just everything together here. No wonder you won the Leading with Faith Award. Everybody's going to call and say, I want to live that guy's life. Talking with Dan Moran, he was the one of the recipients of the Leading with Faith Award recently. Dan, describe your faith journey. What are a couple of the changes that you've gone through concerning your faith that have really made kind of a big difference for you?
Well, sadly, after I got confirmed in ninth grade, there was nothing at Our Lady of Grace for my spiritual growth. There was no youth ministry program, but a friend invited me to his church. And so I got involved in a very active youth ministry program. And I remember it was my senior year in high school. I played on the hockey team, and we had made it to the state high school hockey tournament. And so we were having our pictures taken for the program. And some of my friends who were cheerleaders were just coming onto the ice to get their pictures taken. And so I said to my buddy, I said, watch this. And so I skated full speed down the ice, and I was going to just send a gentle mist of ice on them and just impress them. And I slipped as I was going full speed, went on the boards, broke my leg. I'm in the hospital. Got a cast on my leg, and my buddy comes in, and he puts ROM, period, 828, on the foot of my cast. And I said, what's that? And he said, oh, it's a Bible verse. You'll need to look it up. So he leaves. I look it up, and the verse says, all things work together for good for those who love God. And I'm thinking, it's a nice verse, but Steve, not really going to help me. I'm missing the state high school hockey tournament.
All things work together for those who are clumsy.
So I've got extra time on my hand, and I dust off my Bible that had been sitting on my bookshelf and began reading the Bible for the first time in my life, not because I had to for religion class, but just because I wanted to. And I absolutely fell in love with the scriptures. And almost every day since then, many, many years ago, I attempt to read the scripture and meditate on it.
It's really interesting how the Lord used you didn't get to play in the tournament then, right?
No, I was on the bench.
Yeah. So and you'll never forget that, I'm sure. And those were back in the days when Edina has always been big in hockey, but they were really big when they had the two schools, the East and the West, the Cougars and the Hornets.
Yep.
And God takes those situations in our lives and turns them into something that can be used in a powerful way. Not as drastic as your story, but when I was dating Emily, I was showing off, and I played Wipeout with my hands on the steering wheel and broke my thumb and ended up over at Methodist Hospital in the emergency room. So not quite as bad as you, but You know, God used those things. How do you try to incorporate your faith into your work life every day? You're dealing with money. You're dealing with people's dreams and future. And it's something very, very seriously. How does your faith as a Catholic man play in that arena?
So when I first began, I was nervous to share my faith. I was working in the secular world, and I met with an estate planning attorney just to draw up a will. We had just, John was born, and so we needed a will, and so I met with a man by the name of Dave Singer, and Dave said, before we meet, why don't we just pray? Mm. And so he just prayed that the Lord of the universe would be part of our meeting, that would help us to make good decisions, and then we started our business meeting, and I said to him, I said, wow, I said, that was really bold to do that. And he said, well, you told me that your faith was important to you, and it's important to me, so why wouldn't we bring God into our business relationship? And so it was kind of an encouragement for me to do the same with my clients, and I ask a lot of questions of my clients so I can learn about what it is that they like, they dislike, what are their goals, objectives, and I added one a number of years ago, which is simply, is there anything that I can pray for you or your family? And everyone shares with me something that's on their heart that's important to them, and so I write that down, and when I review their accounts and I'm doing the regular checklist of things to do, I'm also then looking, oh, there's their prayer request, and I remember one couple said that godly spouses would come into our son's lives, and we all prayed that for years, and then one of their sons met a godly woman and got married, and I remember being in that wedding and feeling blessed to be part of that, and clients then ask me, what can we pray for you? And so our relationship, while it's a business relationship and my job is to manage their money, we also have a spiritual relationship, and it's mm-hmm. made my
is
job.
That, is that with most of the clients?
You know, it depends on the client. Uh-huh. I'm trying to do it more and more, I find that if the faith is part of the component of the relationship, it is a deeper relationship. It's more meaningful to me. I'm not just managing money, which would be semi, you know, meaningless if that's mm-hmm. all it was.
I could understand why, you know, in the business world, if you're selling insurance or you are managing money, it's not primarily a pulpit, you know, for you to preach the gospel to everyone, but it would seem odd, wouldn't it, to have a great chunk of your life, 8, 9, 10 hours a day, where that simply is not a part of your life. It would almost be like you are two different people. And I appreciate you integrating your faith, you know, into your everyday life. What do you think, Dan, that some of the challenges are of being a Catholic in today's workforce? For most people, what are the big challenges?
One challenge is that many of our world's values lead us away from God and leave us empty. For example, the world preaches that wealth is really important, that wealth leads to happiness, that wealth solves all of our problems. And that is just not true. I'm a financial advisor for high net worth people. My happiest, most satisfied, fulfilled clients are those that have God at the center of their life, and wealth is not their primary focus. They have healthy marriages, good relationships with their children, their grandchildren, and friends. And as I multiply their wealth, they love to give their money away to charities. Sure, they may buy a cabin or a retirement home down south or take a fun vacation, but again, that is so they can have quality time with their spouses, their family, and their friends. If God is the center of their life is more fulfilling. And I've seen my faith-filled clients who get bad news from the doctor that they have cancer, and they handle that process so much better than those that don't have a strong faith. You know, I think another challenge that Catholics face today is that the news that they read in the secular media regarding the Catholic Church is always negative. Mm-hmm. Which is why I love reading the Catholic Spirit. You read beautiful things that the Catholic Church is doing. You hear stories about faith-filled people that are making a difference. All you read in the secular paper is about the sex scandal with the priests.
Right.
It's a horrible event in our history. It's embarrassing. It's sad. It shouldn't happen. It did. But if that's your only form of reference for the Catholic Church, the secular media, you think that the Catholic Church is bad. I love the statistics about the Catholic Church in terms of what they do to educate people, feeding the poor, housing the homeless, clothing the naked, the corporal works of mercy.
Right.
It's absolutely, it's absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good word for people who are working in the workplace. One of the challenges that I see so often, and I experience it in my own life, and it goes back to St. Paul. You know, I think about Paul going into Corinth and Paul going into Ephesus for the 3 years that he was there, raised up Timothy, is that he wasn't proclaiming a gospel that they were familiar with. He was proclaiming a gospel that was actually counter to the entire culture. There was Caesar worship, and people believed that Caesar was the son of God, you know. Julius Caesar had a son and adopted a son, and Julius Caesar was considered God. And so people considered the leader to be God. And here's Paul coming in, and he's proclaiming the true Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, and the one who ushers in the good news for the world. And it was totally opposite. And then he walks into Ephesus, and they worship Artemis, who is said to be the Queen of Heaven, the Virgin of Virgins, that came down from heaven, and Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, ends up settling in Ephesus. You know, we have these counterfeits, and then we have the real McCoy, and that's something that I think a lot of people have to deal with in their workplaces. They're always dealing with counterfeits and bringing the truth to the table. I have one more question for you. We're talking with Dan Moran. He is the recent recipient of Leading with Faith Award. Dan, when it comes to working in the secular world, you have to be fortified. You have to be built up in your faith. Personal devotions, they're important. When it comes to being a disciple of Christ, how do you keep your walk with Christ alive? What does your personal life of devotion look like?
Well, for the past 35 years, I've had a daily morning quiet time where I pray, I read the Bible. And in a typical year, I might only miss maybe 10 days. Sadly, this past year has been probably one of my worst years in the past 35 in terms of consistency due to my business just being very, very busy. It's difficult to say no when someone comes and asks me to be their advisor because I really enjoy being able to use my skills to help someone. I know that I just need to get back into that habit. It's been mm-hmm. a habit for so many years. So I've asked my Legatus Men small group to pray for me. Once a month, my wife asked me what the prayer requests would be, and that's been on her list for a number of months. One of the things I do try to do, though, is attend a few retreats every year. Our Lady of Grace has a little mini men's retreat mm-hmm. in January. Family Fest Ministries puts on a number of retreats each year, and my wife and I, along with our kids, have attended many of those over the years. I think this will be my 31st consecutive year going to De Montreville, the silent retreat run by the Jesuits in Lake Elmo. In September, my wife and I are going to go to the Knights and Ladies of the Holy Sepulchre annual weekend retreat. Probably the most powerful thing, though, has been for the last 26 years, every Thursday night, during the school year, my wife and I have attended a couples, mostly couples, Bible study. There are some people that are not married. And the composition has changed a little bit over the years, but the same roughly seven couples have been there. And we've celebrated the birth of our children together. We've supported each other as we've attempted to raise godly, faith-filled children. We brought our kids to these fantastic Family Fest retreats, and now these kids in their 20s are blossoming into strong, faith-filled adults.
That's beautiful.
Adults.
Isn't that satisfying?
It's to have that? So there have been a number of tragedies also, right? We've had some deaths of parents, even had a member of our group pass away, and the support of having brothers and sisters in Christ there is is wonderful. And I know that if there was a tragedy in my house, that I would have 20 people in my living room at 2 a.m. supporting me and Cheryl and praying for us. I do listen to Relevant Radio. I'm not saying that just because you have me on the show today, but in my car, when I was driving from my office over here, I was listening to it. I listen to Christian music. Ironically, Matt Maher is my favorite.
Is he?
Christian artist. I do try to get to the Men on a Mission second Friday of every month. There's a men's prayer breakfast from 7 to 8 a.m. at the Embassy Suites Hotel. Men on a Mission's run by St. Paul's Outreach. Begins with prayer, breakfast is served, and then a guest speaker shares a faith-filled message. Confession has been helpful to keep my faith alive. About 10 years ago, Father Bob Schwartz, in a homily, encouraged everyone to go to confession once per month. So I put confession on my calendar as an appointment, and it just became part of my ritual. And towards the end of the first year, it was my Saturday to go, and I headed off to church, went to the chapel, and after about 5 minutes, I couldn't come up with any sins, and I was feeling pretty good about myself, and I thought, well, I might as well go. And so I left the chapel, and there was a little brochure, How to Make a Successful Confession. And so I'm reading it. I'm seventh in line, and so the line's moving along, and I'm reading it, and there's a series of questions all centered around the Ten Commandments. And when I got into confession, I said, Father, forgive me for I've sinned. 14 minutes ago, I thought I had no sins, but upon further review, I have 29 that have cropped up. And so,
what do you know? That's interesting. That's yeah. We're gonna move along. I'm gonna talk with Father Vanderbroek in just a moment. But Dan, I just want to say in conclusion that what an inspiration you are to me. And I know that you're an inspiration to a lot of the people. We have the same group of friends, and I think you're a great example of a guy who's putting his faith into practice, your family, your testimony, and just really appreciate you as a brother in the Lord.
Well, Jeff, thanks a lot.
It's been good. That's Dan Moran. He's one of the recent recipients of the Leading with Faith Award, giving us a kind of a look into his life of what makes him tick and how he makes this happen with the Lord and some of the daily disciplines. The importance of friends, something that he brings up, is so important, and that is that you really need a group of people that you can meet with regularly, that you can share your heart with and you can pray with. In fact, a recent study out of Harvard says that's one of the two common denominators of a happy life. One is avoid alcoholism. The other is develop good, close personal friends. And that's what Dan Moran is doing. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk with Father Vanderbroek about education, going back to school this fall. We'll be back in a moment.
Rediscover.
The expanded offices of James Kohler Family Dentistry in North St. Paul offer you the chance to experience gentle and cosmetic dentistry with a dentist who is pro-family and pro-life.
I'm Dr. James Kohler, inviting you to try Kohler Family Dentistry. We specialize in gentle and comfortable dentistry. From semi-annual cleanings, cosmetic dentistry, even crowns can be done in one visit at our North St. Paul office. We can also remove old amalgam fillings and replace them with beautiful new composite fillings. We welcome Relevant Radio listeners as new patients.
Appointments are available this week by calling 651-777-6454. 651-777-6454.
I share your Catholic values and look forward to introducing you to our experienced staff providing modern dental techniques comfortably and conveniently. You can find out more at relevantradio.com. Enter the keyword dentist.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Joining us on this segment is Father Vanderbroek. He is the parochial vicar over at Epiphany in Coon Rapids. Father, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be on.
Hey, thanks for taking just a few minutes to drop in and give us some kind of suggestions and tips on going back to school. It is an exciting time of the year for schools and families, isn't it?
It sure is. And this is certainly when parish life begins to ramp up even more. Programs start and the school starts, which makes parish life so much more exciting and alive. Families, you know, their involvement in the school really is a very central part for all of our parishes who have schools. And it's a very important part of my life. So I'm excited right now.
As kids go back to school, you've been in touch with this for years. You've been in several schools, several parishes. What advice do you have for parents in making this shift? Because when I was growing up, in the summer, we might have stayed up to 11 o'clock or something, 12 o'clock, but now kids are staying up very, very late, social media, and they have to make this shift now and going back to school.
I think maybe the kind of the central part I would focus on in school in general, and especially with Catholic schools, is you know, why do we send our kids to school? It's certainly to be educated, but what's that education for? Is it's I'd say there's two main reasons for that. One is we want to make citizens, people who know life, they understand the world, they know how to be, you know, good, productive people. But even more importantly, especially this is key for Catholic schools, is we want to make saints. That's why we exist, is we want people to fall in love with Jesus Christ. And parents have a very, very important role with that. So I think that's, thanks for the question, because it, I think sometimes we can get this idea that Catholic schools are really important, and we know that they're teaching our kids about Christ. But parents have a very, very important role in that. And if we need them to work with us very closely to help these kids to become both citizens and saints.
When we talk about kids going back to school, many of our listeners send their kids to Catholic school. Others are in public school. What would you say the dividing line is there? Is why would someone send their kids to a Catholic school? What can they expect as far as the difference?
Sure, and I'm sure there's a number of things parents consider when they're thinking about that question. Catholic schools have always been very close to my heart. For one, I was educated partly by a Catholic school growing up, Guardian Angels in Chaska. I think it's important as a parent to be thinking, where is my child going to receive the best education, but what's going to help them in their faith? And so I think that should be a very important question for parents to ask yes, you certainly have to make a sacrifice to send your kids to Catholic school. It's not getting any cheaper in most places, unfortunately. But is that sacrifice worth it? You know, is my child going to grow in their faith and know Jesus in a way that will honestly be more difficult if you don't go to a Catholic school? So I think that's really important to consider.
Oh, when we talk about parents praying for their kids, any advice there, any suggestions on how to pray on a daily basis for your children while they're going through school?
I would say a couple things are really significant. One is to pray together as a family. It's very difficult, I know, in family life to carve out time with your entire family, try and settle everybody down and say, we're gonna pray. But it's very, very important for a couple of reasons. One is just prayer has to be the center of our life. If Jesus Christ really is our Lord, we have to make time for him every single day. And then for parents to show their kids by making that time as a family every day that this is a priority for us, and that not only teaches them about our faith and as we're talking about Jesus and we're asking him to help us, but it shows them that I'm willing to give my time, my family time, every day to this commitment to my faith. And it's really a beautiful witness. You know, my family growing up, we prayed together quite often, tried to do it every day, and that was a great witness to me.
That I think you know that old saying, a family that prays together stays together, is really, really true. What about kids that, you know, the parents want them to go to a Catholic school, they sign them up for a Catholic school, but the kids have that attitude of, I don't want to go to a Catholic school. Any advice for parents there? You're going anywhere.
Well, there's something to that, I think. You know, a parent, ultimately,
the responsible one.
The parent is the responsible one. You have to decide, what do I want for my child? What's best for my child? Not simply, what does my child want? You know, you can say the same thing about eating vegetables and such, is what's best for the child. I think in encouraging them, helping them to see that the faith is so important and that's why we're making this decision for you and that it will be good for you in the long run.
And I have one last question for you. I know you're a busy guy and you're going to be flying out of this studio, but I have one last question, and that is, how can parents work with the school to provide a better experience for the school and for their children?
Awesome. That's maybe actually the perfect question. Thanks for asking that, because as a priest, what I would love to see is parents very, very involved in the school and helping their kids to have the best school environment they can, but then connecting them with the church. Seeing them in Mass on Sunday is one of the best delights for me as a priest on a Sunday. Is these kids that I spend time with during the week, and then I come and I see their entire family at Mass, it makes me very joyful because I see that their faith, they're not just learning it, but they're living it. And so parents bringing their kids to Mass is, you know, just to start being involved in different things in parish life. It's because it shows them that it isn't just something we teach them that, oh yeah, it's head knowledge, I have to know about Jesus, but I'm living it. And so if parents get involved in parish life and in school life, those both, bringing them together, it brings the faith alive to these kids in a new way, in a powerful way that's so important that I can't do by myself and a school can't do by themselves.
Well, you've given us some good suggestions and some things to think about. I appreciate you stopping by on the show. You've been on before. We look forward to having you in the future.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Good.
There he goes, right out the door. That's Father Brent Vandenbroeke. He is the parochial vicar at Epiphany in Coon Rapids and giving us some advice on kids going back to school. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to give you just a few thoughts for the week from the book of Ephesians. We'll be right back. This is the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
I'm Father Michael Becker, rector at St. John Vianney College Seminary, inviting you to the 12th annual Vianney Cup on Monday, September 19th. Join celebrity golfers Matt Burke and Brian Bonin on the greens at Midland Hills Country Club. The event also includes fantastic prizes, dinner, and a program featuring more than 120 of our current seminarians. Sponsorships and foursomes are available to benefit St. John Vianney and to support our mission of providing essential training today for tomorrow's Catholic priests. We do this through the first-class academic resources of the University of St. Thomas, through a systematic formation in Christian character, and through a traditional Catholic program of spiritual growth. Visit Vianney.net to learn more about our annual golf outing on September 19th. St. John Vianney College Seminary. Men in Christ, men of the church, men for others.
Don't you love that? I love praise music. Isn't it beautiful? You know, sometimes people will talk to me about they're going through a discouraging time in their life. Maybe they're depressed and maybe they're filled with anxiety. And they'll say, what do I do? And one of the things I like to tell them is get a hold of some good Christian uplifting music. Play it in the car. Put it on your smartphone. Go walk with music in your ears. It's amazing how music will lift you up. It really is. So I want to encourage you. Hey, Jeff Cavins with you on the Rediscover Hour. And this edition, many of you are going to the State Fair or coming back from the State Fair, depending on when you listen to it. But it's always a great time of the year here in the Twin Cities. And because it's a great get-together, the great big get-together, we call it, the Minnesota get-together. But I want to remind you that in the Catholic Church, every week is a big get-together. And we come to Mass on Sunday or throughout the week. It's a get-together of the family of God. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's a great thing. You know, recently I've been studying more and more and looking into the Bible, particularly the book of Ephesians, and realizing just how countercultural this gospel is and what a beautiful thing it is for us to be called together as the church, or as they say in Greek, ekklesia, the called out ones, and really our true identity in Christ and the difference that makes in our daily living. I've been looking at recently Paul writing to the Ephesians, and you know he has this progression in the book from chapter 1 through chapter 6 where he starts off and he starts talking about how we are adopted sons and daughters of God. And we're not just believers in God as Catholics. So don't get me wrong, we believe in God, but we're not just believers. We are participants in the Holy Trinity. We are invited into a familial, that is a family relationship with God. And we literally are called together as the body of Christ. Now, that's not just a metaphor. That's not just theologically the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And a person is known by their face, you know? And the head of this body is Jesus Christ. That's what we are known for, is that we are the body of Christ. And the face becomes very important. You don't walk around at the state fair and say, hey, isn't that Susan's elbow over there? You know, or isn't that Roger's ankle over there on the bench? No, you look at the face, and it's the face that identifies who the person is. Oh, that's Roger. Or that's Sarah over there. That's Susan over there. And you know that because you look at the face. And guess what? They will know that we are Christians by our love for one another, and they will know that we are Christians by looking at the face that we belong to, which is Jesus Christ. And so the actions of the body of Christ, that's you and that's me, are related to the head, which is Jesus. And that's good, but that can be bad too, particularly if our witness is counter to the face, counter to the head, which is Christ. If we do those things that are counter to Jesus Christ, then we are false witnesses in a way. So as you're walking around today, and you're going around the fair, whatever you might be doing this weekend, be cognizant of the fact that you are a body that is known by the face, which is Christ, and you have to ask yourself this weekend, today, will people know who I am based on my actions and based on what I do and my relationship with the head, which is Christ? That's a really good question. And so we're known as the body of Christ. But then Paul goes on in chapter 2 and he starts talking about the household, that this body of Christ, me as a body of Christ, a member of the body of Christ, am also a member of the household of God. I'm part of the household of God. And this household of God moves into a communion, a sharing with one another. Now, in the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul is really talking about what we could call orthodoxy. That is, the right teaching about who we are as members of the household of God and our relationship with Jesus and the inexhaustible inheritance that we have. But then he starts to talk about a mystery. And he says to his audience, he says, there's a mystery here that has now been revealed, and it was a mystery that was there from the beginning of the world, but now is being revealed. And you know what that mystery is? Here's what it is. The mystery is that this body, this household, is no longer just for the Jews. It's for everybody, the Gentiles, every race, every creed. They're all invited in to become members of this household. And that was a mystery that was revealed in Jesus, and Paul brought it out, and he said, I'm a steward of this mystery. And that's why he became the great apostle to the Gentiles. Now, the first three chapters of Ephesians talk about this orthodoxy, the right believing right. But then in chapter 4, 5, and 6, he turns to what we would call orthopraxy. And that is, well, how do you live this out? You know, how do you actually live out this being the body of Christ, being the household of the Lord, being inclusive as far as allowing everybody in the house now, in the family now, to share in the inheritance? How do we do that? And that's where he starts getting into how we have to forbear with one another, and we have to forgive one another and love one another. And that's where the work really begins, huh? To work in a church, for example, we need to preserve the unity of the Spirit. The Spirit brings unity to that staff in your church. You need to preserve it. And that means you're going to die to yourself, and you're going to learn to live with other people, so that the world can accurately see the body of Christ. And then Paul moves into, in chapter 5, he moves into this idea of marriage. And he starts talking about marriage in chapter 5 and verse 21. And he said, you should all subject yourself to one another, submit to one another. And then wives, submit to husbands. And husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. I get a kick out of this verse because so often when you read it, you get a reaction from people who they think they know what it means, you know. Wives, submit to your husbands. Oh, you're a doormat, you know, and you do what I say, and I'm the king of my castle and all of that. And that isn't what it's saying at all, at all. You got to remember, he started off by saying, everyone, be subject to one another. Be subject to one another. My good friend Christopher West has a great phrase there. You're talking about submit. He said, it really is this idea of submission. It's a submission. A wife is to help her husband in the mission, and a husband is to help his wife, and both to help each other to become saints and to get to heaven. But the people that end up getting upset about that verse, typically, don't write me on this, but typically it's women can get a little upset about that if they interpret it the way they think it's, you know, that what they think it's saying. But the ones that should really be upset about this, if anybody's going to be upset, are the men. Because it says, men, love your wife to death. Love her. Love her as Christ loved the church. Love her to death. Now, let me ask you, as ladies, be honest with me. You're driving down the road right now. Be honest. Wouldn't you like to be loved to death? Wouldn't you like someone in your life that would love you so much that they'd be willing to give their life to you? What would be your response to a man like that? That's the way it is with Christ. He loved us to death, and now we submit our lives to him, and we work with him for the greater good and for his marvelous, amazing plan of sheer goodness. It's a joy to submit our lives to him and work with him. Now, he talks all about this relationship between a husband and a wife, and then he drops the big bombshell at the end. He says, yeah, this is true of a husband and wife, that they should be working with each other, and the mutual submission, and the man dying for his bride. He's a knight in shining armor. But this mystery is dealing with Christ in the church. I remember back in Genesis, there's a phrase in Genesis 2 where it says, a man shall leave his mother and father, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Three things, leave, cleave, and become one. And if you struggle with any one of those three, you're going to have problems in your marriage if you struggle with leaving the past. So often the past isn't left behind, is it? We bring it up over and over and over. Or we didn't leave mom and dad. When we have a problem, who do we call? We call my dad. We call my mother. And sometimes that causes problems in the relationship. To leave the past patterns, the habits, the things that are not going to be conducive to a new, lively relationship. So we leave and then we cleave to one another. In marriage, you cleave. You pursue each other with a passion. And you cleave to one another. In the Greek, it almost speaks of a gluing together of two, where you share all things. You become, the third point, one. You become one. You share your life. You even share your bodies. You share your dreams. You share your finances. You share your hopes. You share common children. You become one. So you leave, you cleave, and you become one. Now, what God is asking you to do is not something he hasn't done himself. He did it himself. Jesus left heaven, and he came to earth, and he pursued us. He was cleaving. He pursued us as a bridegroom pursues the bride, and he gave himself completely for you to death. He loved you to death. You have been loved to death, my friend. As you're driving around today and you're preparing for this weekend, whatever you're doing, I just want you to remember, you've been loved to death. Look at a crucifix this weekend. You've been loved to death. And now he is one with us. We unite with him in the Eucharist. As the marital embrace celebrates the love and union of two people, so the Eucharist brings us together with Christ, and we are one with him. And if he didn't leave, and if he didn't cleave, and if he didn't become one, you and I would really be in a lot of trouble today. And so I want to encourage you today to remember just a couple things about the book of Ephesians. One is that you are identified by the face. You are the body. Who's the face? That's Jesus Christ. You're known by him. And that body becomes a household, and that household has a mystery, and that is that everybody's involved. Everybody gets to come in. Don't prejudge people. Don't be prejudiced, but allow others to come in and to enjoy the inexhaustible inheritance that we have as saints, as believers in the household of God. But also remember that the key to this is that marital relationship between Christ and the church, bridegroom and bride, and it is also experienced in earthly marriage between us, between our wives and ourselves, our husbands and ourselves, and our marriage can become a stage or a theater on which the love of God is demonstrated in your life. You might say, Jeff, that sounds really, really good, but you don't know my husband. You don't know my wife. No, I don't. But I can tell you this, love conquers. And you can change the circumstances in your life by loving and by putting these principles into action. Some people might have said you would have never come to the Lord. You'll never get it right, but you did. Because of the love of Jesus, he got a hold of your heart. Just some advice today, some good news from Ephesians. You might want to read it over this week. And I've been deep into that lately. I've been really studying that book a lot. Certain books grab me at certain times. I know a few years ago, Galatians did that. My life verse came out of Galatians. Do you have a life verse? Life verse is one of those verses where you memorize it and it just means so much to you. And mine was Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Hey, I want to thank Father Vannebroek for joining me on the show today talking about Catholic education, and our good friend Dan Moran, who is the Leading with Faith recipient just recently. Thanks to both of them. You can listen to these rebroadcasts, by the way, on Relevant Radio. Those are two things that are happening here in the diocese, in the archdiocese, so many other things. And Paul Sadek, the golden voice of Relevant Radio, joins us to talk about that.
You are too kind. Here's a quarter for you, Jeff. You know, Mother Teresa is being canonized this weekend. Sunday morning, our time, 3 a.m.
What a day.
You can hear it on Relevant Radio. And again, a noon replay of it. And a massive Thanksgiving for the canonization of Mother Teresa of Calcutta will take place on Labor Day, Monday, September 5th at Holy Rosary Church, South Minneapolis, 10 a.m. All are invited. Visit the relevantradio.com events page for more details.
Cookie Cart, the North Minneapolis nonprofit bakery and organization founded in 1988 by the late Sister Jean Tiroff, is hosting an open house and bakery dedication in her honor on Thursday, September 8th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the bakery. It's located at 1119 West Broadway. At 4:30 p.m., a brief program remembering Sister Jean and the bakery dedication will take place outside the bakery's main entrance on West Broadway. The event is free and open to the public. For more information, visit cookiecart.org.
St. Gabriel's invites you to their Fall Festival Friday and Saturday, September 9th and 10th at their St. John campus in Hopkins. Live music, Hispanic and American food, beverages, and games. On Sunday, September 11th, the St. Joseph campus in Hopkins will host the Parish Fall Festival 11 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. There will be a chicken dinner, concessions, bingo, silent auction, games, country store, bake shop, and the Vikings game on a large screen in the beer garden at noon. Look for more information on their website, stgabrielhopkins.org.
All are invited to the Divine Mercy Parish Mission. That's September 11th through the 13th at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake. Special guest, Father Angelo Casimiro of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join them that night at 7 p.m. as Father Angelo presents three talks on mercy: mercy in light of the Paschal mystery, mercy in the sign of the times, and mercy in the mission of the church. Each evening also includes a time of praise and worship, question and answer session, hospitality, as well as prayer teams on the final night. No cost, no registration required. Just show up. Don't miss this powerful event. For more information, visit churchofstpaul.com or call the parish at 763-757-6910.
Men are invited to the Catholic Watchman Rally at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids, Thursday, September 15th, 6:30 to 9 p.m. Bishop Andrew Cousins will present on the strength of humility, obedience to Christ in all things. The Catholic Watchman Rally is an opportunity for men to draw closer to Jesus Christ and invest in fellowship with other men. There will be time for adoration and confession. Dinner is provided. Free will offering accepted. Questions? Call Susanna Boley or a writer at bolles@archspm.org or call 651-291-4411.
And do you know of any men called to a vocation as a permanent deacon? A four-part permanent diaconate inquiry series for married or single men between 30 and 59 years old will be held at the St. Paul Seminary this fall. In this series, discerners and their wives, if applicable, will learn about the vocation of the permanent diaconate. You can find out more information. The series begins Tuesday, September 20th from 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. For more information, contact Deacon Russ at Kosemba, K-O-C-E-M-B-A at MSN.com. Register, contact Shelley Life at SJLife at stthomas.edu.
And you're going away for a little while.
I am, just for a few weeks. I got a lot of work to do with some recording. But you got some really good shows coming up. Next week, they're going to talk about business and the Business Leaders Program at St. John Vianney College. That's next week. It's going to be a good show.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.